exactly unstable, but she can sort of go off the deep end when she gets upset. I told her as gentle as I could that she had to move out, and I helped her pack, and even let her take a couple of the Queensryche CDs that were really mine. As soon as she was gone, I went to the hardware store for a new Medico lock to put on the front door, and put it on that same night. The next morning, I called the phone company and had them change my phone number and made it unpublished. That left me free to pursue Aaron. Linda's story. I was ready to leave anyway, I just hadn't decided when. But nobody likes to feel rejected. So it was just a question of, what could I do to let him know what a jerk he was? It didn't take long to figure out. There had to be another girl, otherwise he wouldn't have sent me packing in such a hurry. So I'd just wait a bit, and then start calling him late in the evening. You know, around the time they would least want to be called. I waited till the next weekend and called around 11 o'clock on Saturday night. Only he had changed his phone number. And the new number was unlisted. That just shows what kind of SOB the guy was. It wasn't that big of a setback. I started rummaging through the papers I had managed to take home just before I left my job at the phone company. And there it was. I had saved a repair ticket from once when there was a problem with the telephone line at Doug's, and the printout listed the cable and pair for his phone. See, you can change the phone number all you want, but you still have the same pair of copper wires running from your house to the telephone company switching office, called the central office, or CO. The set of copper wires from every house and apartment is identified by these numbers, called the cable and pair. And if you know how the phone company does things, which I do, knowing the target's cable and pair is all you need to find out the phone number. I had a list giving all the COs in the city, with their addresses and phone numbers. I looked up the number for the CO in the neighborhood where I used to live with Doug the Jerk, and called, but naturally nobody was there. Where's the switchman when you really need him? Took me all of about 20 seconds to come up with a plan. I started calling around to the other COs and finally located a guy, but he was miles away, and he was probably sitting there with his feet up. I knew he wouldn't want to do what I needed. I was ready with my plan. This is Linda, Repair Center, I said. We have an emergency. Service for a paramedic unit has gone down. We have a field tech trying to restore service, but we can't find the problem. We need you to drive over to the Webster CO immediately and see if we have dial tone leaving the central office. And then I told him, I'll call you when you get there. Because, of course, I couldn't have him calling the repair center and asking for me. I knew he wouldn't want to leave the comfort of the central office to bundle up and go scrape ice off his windshield and drive through the slush late at night. But it was an emergency, so he couldn't exactly say he was too busy. When I reached him 45 minutes later at the Webster CO, I told him to check cable 29, pair 2481, and he walked over to the frame and checked and said, yes, there was dial tone. Which, of course, I already knew. So then I said, okay, I need you to do an LV, which means line verification, which is asking him to identify the phone number. He does this by dialing a special number that reads back the number he called from. He doesn't know anything about if it's an unlisted number or that it's just been changed, so he did what I asked, and I heard the number being announced over his lineman's test set. Beautiful. The whole thing had worked like a charm. I told him, well, the problem must be out in the field, like I knew the number all along. I thanked him and told him we'd keep working on it, and said good night. So much for that Doug, and trying to hide from me behind an unlisted number. The fun was about to begin. Analyzing the con. The young lady in this story was able to get the information she wanted to carry out her revenge because she had inside knowledge, the phone numbers, procedures, and lingo of the telephone company. With it, she was not only able to find out a new unlisted phone number, but was able to do it in the middle of a wintry night, sending a telephone switchman chasing across town for her. Mitnick Message. Once a social engineer knows how things work inside the targeted company, it becomes easy to use that knowledge to develop rapport with legitimate employees. Companies need to prepare for social engineering attacks from current or former employees who may have an axe to grind. Background checks may be helpful to weed out prospects who may have a propensity toward this type of behavior. But in most cases, these people will be extremely difficult to detect. The only reasonable safeguard in these cases is to enforce and audit procedures for verifying identity, including the person's employment status, prior to disclosing any information to anyone not personally known to still be with the company. Mr. Big Wants This. A popular and highly effective form of intimidation, popular in large measure because it's so simple, relies on influencing human behavior by using authority. Just the name of the assistant in the CEO's office can be valuable. Private investigators and even headhunters do this all the time. They'll call the switchboard operator and say they want to be connected to the CEO's office. When the secretary or executive assistant answers, they'll say they have a document or package for the CEO, or if they send an email attachment, would she print it out? Or else they'll ask, what's the fax number? And by the way, what's your name? Then they call the next person and say, Jeannie in Mr. Big's office told me to call you so you can help me with something. The technique is called name dropping, and it's usually used as a method to quickly establish rapport by influencing the target to believe that the attacker is connected with somebody in authority. A target is more likely to do a favor for someone who knows somebody he knows. If the attacker has his eyes set on highly sensitive information, he may use this kind of approach to stir up useful emotions in the victim, such as fear of getting into trouble with his superiors. Here's an example. Scott's story. Scott Abrams. Scott? This is Christopher Dalbridge. I just got off the phone with Mr. Bigley, and he's more than a little